Good morning, everyone. I want to read this morning from the New Testament, book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. So it'll be really helpful if you've got a Bible to turn to Hebrews 12 and then to keep it open after I've read it as we work our way through the text. So Hebrews and chapter 12. Now, last July, I caught COVID. After avoiding it for over a year, I finally caught COVID. And back last summer were the days we had to isolate for 10 whole days at home. Now, for most people, 10 days stuck in the house would be very frustrating. I've got to be honest with you. It could not have happened at a better time for me, because I love sports. And I caught COVID just at the start of the Olympic Games being on television. Now, I was wiped out, didn't have a lot of energy, but I got to sit on the sofa all day, every day, for 10 whole days, watching the Olympics and not feeling guilty for it. And it was great to watch, lots of great moments and memories from last summer's games. And over the years, I have really enjoyed watching lots of Olympics, many great memories. What I want to do this morning is to share two contrasting memories. I remember watching these on TV from Olympics in the past. The first one happened back in 1992 in the Barcelona Games. And that year there was a British runner called Derek Redmond. He has an outside chance of winning a medal. And he's running in the 400 metres. And the race started, he got to the first bend and he heard a really loud sound. Derek Redmond actually said he thought it was a gunshot from the stands. But it wasn't a gunshot. It was actually the sound of his own hamstring popping. And in agony and pain, he hit the track. And by the time he lifted his head up, all the other athletes across the finish line, his race was over, and so was his Olympic dream. But Derek Redmond, even in the agony and pain, was determined to finish his race. And so very slowly and very painfully, he got up on his feet, and he started to hobble towards the finishing line. Now, his father was in the stands, and his father was really distressed to see his son in such pain. And his father jumped over the advertising hoardings, pushed past security, ran onto the track, over to his son, and tried to talk Derek Redmond into just giving up. Son, it's over. The race is finished. But he soon discovered his son was determined to finish the race. And so he put his arm around his son, acted like a human crutch. And together, very slowly, they hobbled towards the finish line. Now, by this stage, the entire stadium were on their feet. They were roaring them on. They were cheering them. And when Derek Redmond and his dad crossed the finish line, they got the biggest cheer of the games of that Olympics. Now, a complete contrast to Derek Redmond and his dad was another British athlete called Paula Radcliffe. And back in the 2004 Games in Athens, she was the golden girl of the British team. She was the world record holder in the marathon. She was the favourite to win gold in the marathon and the 10,000 metres. But when she started to run in her first race, the marathon, things didn't go to plan. She just didn't feel right. She felt a bit sick. And she never got into her stride, and it just wasn't going her way. And with 4 miles left to go in the marathon, she just stopped. And she walked out of the race. And she gave up. Now, the British public and the British press were in uproar about this. Nobody likes a quitter. Nobody likes somebody who just gives up. And she got a lot of bad press, but she had a chance in a few days' time to redeem herself in the 10,000 metres, chance to win gold. But the same thing happened. She didn't feel great. Never got into her stride, felt a bit sick. And with 8 laps to go in the 10,000 metres, she just stopped. She walked out of the race. Now, she went on to do many other great things. She won world championships. She won world records or broke world records. But Paula Radcliffe will always be remembered, most of all, as being the athlete who gave up, who walked out of her race, not once, but twice. Now, as we come into the New Testament here, sometimes in the New Testament, the Christian life is described like a running race. That's sometimes the picture. The Christian race is never described like a walk in the park. Yesterday was a beautiful day, you know, maybe you went out with your family or did something, nice little stroll in the park. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you will know the Christian life is not a nice little dander in the park. It's a race, a difficult race, a race with struggles and with challenges. Now, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews that we're going to read here this morning, but we do know who it was written to. It was written to Jewish believers, Jews who become believers in the first century. And life was tough for them. It certainly wasn't a walk in the park. They faced opposition and persecution and challenges. And some of these first listeners, the first readers of the book of Hebrews, were struggling in their race of faith. And you know what many of them felt like doing? Doing like Paula Radcliffe. It's just too tough. It's too difficult. Why don't I give up on being a follower of Jesus Christ? Why don't I give up and go back to my old way of life? And so the writer of the book of Hebrews writes this letter to Christians who are struggling in their race of faith. And the big message of the whole book of Hebrews can be summarized in four words. The big message of Hebrews is, Jesus is the best. Jesus is the best. Jesus is superior to anybody and anything else. Why would you want to give up? Why would you want to go back to your old way of life? Keep on going because Jesus is the best. And as we come in here to Hebrews 12, we actually read some very specific running advice to encourage these first listeners and us today to keep on going. Maybe you're here this morning, you are a Christian. I wonder how you're getting on in your own race of faith. It's not always easy, is it? Trying to live for Jesus Christ in a broken world is really, really tough. We're surrounded by pressures. Pressures to conform to worldviews and people all around us. Individually, we face temptations on a daily basis. We're confronted by our own sin and temptations. We get sick at times. Loved ones die. It's not a walk in the park. There's all these challenges coming at different angles. And sometimes we may be tempted to think, wouldn't life be easier if I just give up? If I did a Paula Radcliffe and just walked off? Maybe as you're sitting here this morning, that might be the thought in your mind. I feel like just giving up. And if you're not thinking like that this morning, you'll probably be tempted at some stage in the future to think, this is tough. What my family are going through, wouldn't it be easier just to walk away? That's why this passage we're about to read is so, so helpful. So let's listen to God's word. Hebrews 12, I'm going to read the first three verses. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. Now the chapter here, chapter 12, starts with the word therefore, which lets us know this isn't the start of a new section. It's a continuation of something that's gone on before. And that's exactly what it is. It continues on from Hebrews 11. Now Hebrews 11 is one of the most famous chapters in all of the Bible. It's a great chapter. It tells us lots of people, people like Moses, David, the great characters of the Old Testament. And these are the stories of people who ran the race of faith before us, the great heroes of the faith. Now, these great Old Testament saints, was it a walk in the park for them? Or being a follower of God, was it a difficult path? Well, let's glance your eye back into Hebrews 11 and pick it up at verse 36. So these heroes of the faith, what kind of things did they face as they followed God? Hebrews 11 and verse 36. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destituted, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Now, if you're going to write an advertisement for being a follower of Jesus Christ, that is not what you would write, okay? Life was tough for these followers of God. But how did they keep going? Well, do you know how they keep going? It's right back to the start of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, or Hebrews chapter 1, tells us what faith is. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of things you do not see. How did these Old Testament saints keep going? Because they believed God's promises. They believed that the best was yet to come. They knew they had a great hope in God, and so they kept going. And then as we move into chapter 12 here, it starts off, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What's this cloud of witnesses it's talking about? Well, a cloud is a large group of people, and it's referring to the people in Hebrews 11, these great heroes of the faith. They're a cloud of witnesses, a bit like a witness in a court. A witness in a court stands up and they testify. And what do they testify to? What they have seen, what they have heard, what they have experienced, what they know. And that's what these heroes of faith in chapter 11 are. They're people who testify, they witness to the life of faith of following God. And we look back at their faith and we read these great stories that are recounted in the Bible, and they encourage us. They encourage us not to give up, to keep our faith in God, and to keep on going. And so with this cloud of witnesses, these heroes of the faith in mind, the writer here in chapter 12 gives three running tips. Here's the three running tips I want you to remember this morning. The first one is throw off anything that hinders. The second one is keep going, run with perseverance. And the third running tip is look up. So I want you to remember these. Throw off, keep going, and look up. Let's unpack these a little bit more. The first one is throw off. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. The image here is of a runner before he takes part in a race. So in the Olympics now, or any athletics you see, the runners will come out to start, and they'll come and they'll have their running gear on, but they'll probably have a tracksuit. And if you're running Northern Ireland, you might have a coat on as well, keep you warm, and a hat. They'll have all these layers to keep themselves warm. But they don't run like that, sure they don't, because that's a hindrance. And so before they actually get onto the starting blocks, they throw off anything that will hinder. They take off the layers that will slow them down. And in Bible times, in the original Olympics, they literally threw off everything because everything was seen as a hindrance. It'll hold them back. Now let's think about the articles of clothing that an athlete today might wear as they come out to start. Maybe wearing a tracksuit, a jumper, a coat, a hat. Is there anything wrong with those articles of clothing? No, there's nothing wrong with them. But they are a hindrance when it comes to running in a race. And so you throw off anything that could be a hindrance to you. Sometimes it's true of our Christian lives as well. There are things in our lives, and maybe there's nothing wrong with these things in themselves, but they're a hindrance for us running the race of faith. They're actually a distraction. They might slow us down as followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe there are things in our lives that occupy far too much time. Maybe too much of our time. Maybe too much of our attention. Too much of our affections. There's nothing wrong with them, but they've actually got too much of a prominence in our lives. Because when a good thing becomes a God thing, becomes an idol, then becomes a bad thing in our lives. One of my neighbours, the house actually just opposite our house, has just bought a new car, a really flashy car. The kind of car I will never own and never drive. It's really sad, though. This man has become obsessed with his car. And so every time you see him, he's out polishing his car. And every time he drives it and comes back home, it's obviously got a little bit of dirt or dust on it. So he's straight out and he is polishing this car. It's a black car, and we can actually see our own reflection in the car from the other side of the street. And one of our children, we were actually heading out to church a couple of weeks ago, and one of the kids in the car said, if ever there's an idol, it's that man's car. And it's true. And this guy's not a believer, but he is totally obsessed with this car. Now, is having a car a bad thing? No, cars are good. I even got the church here this morning without a car. A car helps us get about. It's a good thing. Is keeping your car clean a good thing? Absolutely. In fact, Joanne wishes I would even wash our car occasionally instead of letting the rain do the job. It's good to have a good, clean car. But what he's taken a good thing and it's become a bad thing because it's just an obsession in his life. We can easily do the same thing. We can laugh at a man like that. But there are other things that become a hindrance to us. What about jobs? We talk about a workaholic. Is a job a bad thing? No, good to have a job, but if it becomes the most important thing and it pushes God out of our lives, that's a bad thing. What about relationships? It's good to be in relationships. Not good for a man to be on his own. But sometimes even relationships, or the pursuit of a relationship becomes the main thing, that's a bad thing. Or a hobby, something you're not embarrassed about. Maybe sport or music, nothing embarrassing about it, but it pushes God out. I'll give you one that's a real challenge to me. The mobile phone. Is it good to have a mobile phone? Great. Think of all the things you make a phone call, sat nav to get you somewhere, take a photograph, that family moment. Great thing. Great thing to have. But how long does it it doesn't take long to become maybe an obsession in our lives. We spend hours throughout the day. And we think at the end of the day, how much time have I spent in my own relationship with my Savior? And a good thing can become a bad thing if it takes too much place. It becomes a hindrance in our race of faith. And what does it say here? What's the running advice? Throw off everything that hinders. Put it away. And so we need to examine our lives. Maybe we need to go back to a basic Nokia phone or something. That throw it off. Anything that's a hindrance. Good things can be a hindrance, but there's also sin. Let's follow on the verse. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The image here is a runner who's caught up in something. And if a runner becomes entangled, what happens? They fall flat on their face. That's the impact that sin has in the life of Christian runners. Because the devil knows how to entangle us, doesn't he? He knows how to trip us up. He knows what our Achilles heel is. And often for us, it's those repeated sins. Those sins that trip us up time and time again. And it'll probably look different for different people here this morning. Maybe it's that repeated sin of anger, losing your temper. Maybe it's the repeated sin of pride, just getting too much of yourself. Or lust, inappropriate thoughts. Or maybe it's greed, or it could be other things. Those sins that entangle us and just trip us up. And often the reason people give up on Christian life, often the reason people walk away from their faith is they say, think to themselves, call myself a Christian? I keep doing that. I keep sinning that way time and time and time again. What kind of Christian am I? I'm just going to give it up. It's just too difficult. If you're tempted to think like that, we need to think about the gospel. The gospel is big enough to deal with any sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ is big enough to deal with any repeated sin. And so I want to go to the verse that Viv has already shared with us this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, even those repeated sins that entangle us and trip us up. And so if there's repeated sin in our life, as runners in this race, we actually need to repent of that. We need to bring it to Christ and realize that the gospel is big enough to deal with any of our sins. But we also need to have that heart's desire that we don't keep on continuing in sin. We don't let it entangle us. We need to throw it off. We actually need to put those sins to death in our lives. Now, can we do that in our own strength? No, we can't. But remember, as we run our race of faith, we don't actually run on our own, do we? We have great helper. I want to turn back again in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2. Right at the end of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18 are these really helpful words, really encouraging words. Hebrews 2 and 18. It's talking about Jesus here. So Hebrews 2, 18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So even as we face temptation of sin, Jesus Christ is able to help us. And how is he able to help us? Well, he's given us the helper. He's given us God, the Holy Spirit. And so on a daily basis, as we try and untangle ourselves from sin in our lives, we need to seek God's help. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so helpful. You know, lead us not into temptation. That needs to be a daily prayer as we try to put off sin, as we throw it off from our lives following Jesus Christ. So there's the first running tip. Throw off anything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Here's the second running tip. Keep going. Second half of verse 1 of Hebrews 12. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep on going. The image here is of a runner running with gritted teeth. Now I want to take you back. Start of COVID, lockdown. Lots of people started new things when they were restricted to their homes, maybe took up baking or a musical instrument. One of the things I started to do with my eldest daughter, Josie, was do some running. We decided to do the Couch to 5K. Some of you might have heard of this. It's for non-runners, okay? People who want to get a bit fitter, and it's a little app on your phone, and it helps you run from basically zero over the number of weeks so you can run a 5K race. And I don't mind running as long as it's a short distance, but I have the lung capacity of a six-month-old child. And I thought, I'll give this a go. I'll try and, you know, pick up a bit of fitness. I'll do it with my daughter, and we'll use our time profitably. And it starts off, it's really funny, the first day you do it, run for 30 seconds and then walk, and you think, oh, how easy. And after 30 seconds, you're gasping for breath. And after a while, you do pick it up. And by the end of it, we had got to the stage where we could run a lot further. Some people love running. They really enjoy it. It feels great when you run. We hated running. There was never any pleasure in it. It was always painful. It was always a chore. And even after we finished the course and got up to 5K, did we keep on going? No, that was it. Okay. We did a Paula Radcliffe, we just gave up. It's just too painful and not enjoyable. The Christian life, though, it tells us to keep on going. Run with perseverance. Keep on going when it's difficult. The Bible never says the Christian life's going to be easy. So Jesus, speaking to his followers in John 16, said, in this world you will have trouble. There's going to be things that are difficult, and you need to keep running with perseverance. In Luke 9, Jesus said, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross and follow me. It's not a walk in the park. This is cross-bearing. It's the path of suffering and pain. This is not the calling to an easy life. It's a life marked with trials and suffering. So why endure? You know, Josie and I had an easy option. It's our choice. Do you want to keep running 5Ks? It's too difficult. No. But why would you want to endure? Why would you want to keep on going in this race of faith? Maybe you're asking that question here this morning. Why keep going? Well, when you come to the Bible, the story of glory in the Bible is always that the glory comes after suffering. Glory always comes after the suffering. And the greatest example of that is the cross of Jesus Christ himself. What was the worst suffering ever? This earth. It's what Jesus suffered on the cross, the physical suffering, but also the spiritual suffering as he's separated from the Father. What comes after the suffering for Jesus on the cross? The glory. Accomplishing our salvation. Winning people like us and bringing us into a relationship with God the Father. Overcoming sin. Glory always comes after suffering. That is the story time and time and time again. In Scripture. And no matter what our struggles might be now, no matter what our suffering might be here on earth, it's not the end of the story. And what does the Bible keep teaching us? The best is yet to be. Glory always comes after the suffering. So keep on going. Run with perseverance. That's the great hope of us as believers, that one day our race will be over and our faith is going to give way to sight. And we're going to be in the presence of our Savior. And glory is going to come after the suffering. All the struggles, all the trials, all the pains and the sorrows will be over. We'll be with our Savior in glory forever and ever. And so if you're struggling in the race of faith, and you're finding it tough here this morning to keep on going, pray for God's strength. Pray for God's strength to endure. And remember, it's not the end of the story. The best is yet to come. And the third running tip actually follows on and connects into us. It helps us to keep on going. But we need to throw off. We need to keep going. But thirdly, we need to look up. Look at verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, I've shared with you that I am not a long-distance runner, but I used to do a lot of sprinting. And the first ever sprint race I won was the Primary One Sports Day race many years ago. And when I won that race, you don't really think about technique. You stand on the start line, the teacher goes, marks good, set, go, and you run as fast as your little legs will take you, and hopefully you beat everybody and cross the finishing line. But as I got older and got into secondary school and started to represent the school in sprinting races, you used to think a lot more about your technique and how to get that explosive start out of the blocks. And other things like that there. But one of the top tips when you're running in a sprint race is where you fix your eyes. Don't have a look around you, okay? Fix your eyes where you want to go. Don't be distracted. Now, when you're running in a sprint race, it's really easy to know when you're in the lead. If you can't see anybody else in front of you, you know you're in the lead. But there's always a temptation. I wonder where everybody else is. Are they on my shoulder or have I left them in the dust? And when you run along, there's this temptation to have a little glance around. And that's always a disaster to get distracted. Sometimes you even see it in the Olympics, where somebody looks around and what happens? Usually the person on the shoulder goes past them at that stage and wins the race. We're told in this here where to fix our eyes. Don't get distracted. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We sang about that already today. Turn your eyes on Jesus. We don't look back to the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. These great people in the Old Testament, great as they are, we don't fix our eyes on them. There's one greater than them. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Well, what's the big message of Hebrews? Jesus is the best. So fix your eyes on him. And then verse 2 goes on. It says he's the author of our faith. It's a rich word. It means he's the founder, the originator, the forerunner, the champion of our faith. Fix your eyes on him. Actually, our race of faith starts when we fix our eyes on Jesus. So if you're a Christian, there was a point in your life, for the first time, you turned your eyes upon Jesus. And you looked upon him as a savior and you trusted him. And so your race of faith started with you fixing your eyes on Jesus and trusting him. But the life of faith continues with us fixing our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep looking to him. Now, obviously, we can't see him physically. We can't see Jesus with our eyes. So how do we fix our eyes on him? Well, we see Jesus as we read his word. That's why the spiritual disciplines each day of reading his word, of meditating upon, because as we look into scripture, who do we see? We see Jesus. And as we spend time in his word and in prayer, it helps us in our daily race fix our eyes on Jesus. We see Jesus when we come to church. That's why it's so important. That's why the Bible has instructed us to come to church. So as we sing these songs, as we take communion, as we pray, as we have fellowship, what all is this doing? It's helping us to fix our eyes, not on all the distractions in the world, but to help us fix our eyes on Jesus. And so when we don't feel like coming to church, that's the time we need to come to church, because it helps us to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's who Jesus is. He's the author, the founder of our faith. We need to fix our eyes on him. But he's also the perfecter, it says here as well. The perfecter of our faith. Now, what's a perfecter? A perfecter is one who brings our faith through to its intended goal, who brings our faith through to completion, who brings our faith through to glory. That's when our faith will give way to sight, when Jesus brings it through to completion. Fix your eyes on him. Do you ever feel like you're running on the spot? Do you ever feel like that in your walk or your race of faith? Do you ever feel you're running on the spot? Do you ever feel like you're stumbling maybe or going backwards? What do we need to do? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus is our great example. Jesus is the one who lived here on earth before us. And he ran a race. And when Jesus lived here on earth, was his race easy? No. He was despised, the Bible says. He was rejected. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He had to endure the cross, the physical suffering, the spiritual suffering. And it was tough for Jesus. But he kept on going. And why did he keep on going? Well, verse 2 tells us. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did he keep on going? He looked beyond the cross. He looked beyond the suffering. He knew that there was joy beyond the suffering, the joy that was set before him. And what was that joy that was beyond the suffering of the cross? What was accomplishing our salvation? It was ascending to glory. It was sitting at the right hand of the Father, his work complete and accomplished. And so Jesus is somebody who ran a race before us. He triumphed. He was victorious. And he is our great example. Not only is he our great example, he's our strength. He's our help. He's the one who will help us endure to the end. That's why verse 3 says here that we should consider Jesus. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So what we're told to do there, think about Jesus. Consider him who endured the cross and suffering and the glory that came beyond that. And when you think about Jesus, when you fix your eyes on him, it will help you not to grow weary and it will help you not to give up. I started this morning with a story about Apollo, Paula Radcliffe, that runner who gave up. I want to finish, as I come to the end of my sermon here this morning, not with Apollo, but with a Paul. The Apostle Paul from the New Testament. Somebody who ran the race before us. Now, as the Apostle Paul ran his race of faith, was it a walk in the park? No. Sometimes he was shipwrecked. Sometimes he was stoned and abandoned by friends. Sometimes he ended up in prison. But did he give up? No. Why not? Because he knew the best was yet to come. And so he kept fixing his eyes on Jesus. And I want to read some words that the Apostle Paul wrote from 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote that we have here in Scripture. These are some of his final words. And as Paul writes these words in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, he's in a Roman jail, probably awaiting execution. So he knows his time is up. And he writes these words, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Get that running theme there? I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I fought a good fight. I have finished the race. We're all at different stages in our life. We're all different ages. Some younger, some older. Some are maybe near the start of their Christian life. Maybe some of you have been Christian for many, many years. But what we want to be able to do is all of us to be able to echo these words of the Apostle Paul at the end of our life. Be able to say, I fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And what do we need to do to enable us all to be able to say, I've finished the race and I've kept the faith? Well, we need to throw off, don't we? Throw off anything that hinders and any sin that entangles. We need to keep going. We need to run with perseverance, knowing that the best is yet to come, even in the difficult times. Glory comes after the suffering. And thirdly, we need to daily look up. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising his shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So let's throw off, keep going, and let's look up.